Welcome, everyone, to a new episode of The Tap. I'm your host, author Andrew Hess.
And I'm Justin DeFrancisco. What do we got on tap for today, Andrew?
Not much that's good. At least I'm honest about it. We're recapping Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown, the extended Friday Night SmackDown.
Yeah, super-sized SmackDown.
Ooh. Yeah. Honestly, SmackDown was definitely better than Raw.
Yeah, I was just saying to you, I felt like that this was like I almost watched two Raws this week.
Because, kind of felt that way, yeah.
Yeah, because it was just so long. You know, with the extra, it was only a half hour added to SmackDown, but it was a commercialless last half hour that basically made it as long as Raw. And yeah, I'm just not a fan of the shows going over 2 hours. It's like too much to watch. They usually can't come up with good enough content throughout, because literally SmackDown technically had like the same length of like promos and matches. And what they did was they had like literally what felt like a 10-minute Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns recap of like everything that's been going on. And I skipped ahead. Like, let me tell you, I skipped ahead like 3 minutes on my video and it was still going. And I was like, what is this? Why is this still?
That's how I was with Raw. I had to skip a whole lot because I'm like, dude, this is horrible.
Yeah, there's certain things. Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you right now. I don't know what the content of that Goldberg and Bobby Lashley promo was, because I'm going to be honest with you right now, I couldn't sit there and watch it.
I skipped it. I saw
it. Okay, because let me tell you that I doubt that anything substantial happened in that conversation besides, I'm Goldberg, I will beat
all
you.
All he said in there, and I got it from an IG post, was literally, it was just like them going back and forth and Goldberg saying that he's going to kill Bobby Lashley.
Yeah. He's been already saying that. It's nothing new. I knew that there was going to be nothing new. And these promos are always the worst, where they're always like, where they have some interview where they're both like on screen via satellite. Like, that's always like the worst types of promos like ever. I hate these like questionnaire like type promos that they have where it's just like the announcer, like Michael Cole's asking them a question, or whoever, Corey Graves, is asking them a question. You know, like I hate those. They never work. They always seem to do them with Goldberg and Brock Lesnar all the time. And yeah, I don't like them. I'm not a fan.
No. And we're going to just kind of skip through a lot. I mean, a lot of Monday Night Raw, because I mean, they had decent matches, but I mean, realistically, I didn't care about Austin Theory versus Jeff Hardy again. I didn't care about Mansoor versus Cedric Alexander. I didn't care about the promos that happened with Mansoor and Ali. I didn't care about any of that stuff. It was really just pointless. Like, it's filler for me. And it was just,
I don't
like,
know who said it, but I did like the R-Truth part where he goes, I said, I didn't say R-Truth is wrestling. He goes, R-Truth. No, but he goes, this is R-Truth's friend. No. And then on commentary, he goes, somebody goes, who, Little Jimmy?
Oh.
I thought that was really funny.
I missed that part.
Also, whatever the first joke he says to Austin Theory, I thought was pretty funny too, where, I don't know. I forget exactly what he said, but
I like the one that was backstage.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, that said. Yeah. Truth turns around. He goes. I'll accept. He goes, you want a challenge? He goes, I'll accept your challenge on one condition. He goes, you go get permission from your mama to stay up late.
yeah, that was funny. Yeah, that was good. I didn't mind it. I actually was more interested in the Jeff Hardy match this week after. I was shocked how into the match the crowd actually was.
Because people are getting behind Jeff Hardy because they all feel like he's not being used.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, Jeff Hardy has not been exciting or changed his outfit since the year 2001.
No, first off, he needs a heel turn.
He needs to change the way that he dresses. Like, that's not cool to wear that stuff anymore.
And here's the thing is, like, you could see over the years, even in Impact Wrestling and even now in AEW, you could see Matt Hardy has evolved his gimmick of Matt Hardy so many times, and it's worked. Yeah. But Jeff Hardy is always the exact same way.
And it's funny because
you don't even, they haven't even tried to tap into Brother Nero yet.
Yeah, right. And I don't know if they're gonna. I think technically, I don't know. I think they can because it's his middle name, but I don't know if technically that's part of Matt Hardy's rights to his gimmick that he has. But I'm not sure. It doesn't really matter because I feel like they're never going to do it anyway.
They won't. And that's one of the problems that they have when it comes to WWE. I mean, how long did it take them to go ahead and finally bring back the No More?
No More Words.
It's no the, More Words. Yeah.
Yeah. That song. And that was part of his contract negotiations. That was all he wanted. And
the little things in life, man, you know?
Yeah. To be fair. Yeah. If I'm coming out, I'm tired of coming out to that. No, like, lyric tone deaf, Hardy Boy music. I want to come out to something, you know, that's got some lyrics in it, you know, to be fair. Like, I'm all right. He's like, yeah, if I got to be stuck in this company, I want it to be as painless as possible. So yeah, fair enough.
As painless as possible. That really, normally that wouldn't be asking that much, but when it comes to WWE, apparently it is.
Yeah. I also think it's funny that, both of the Hardys limp, and I think it's with like the opposite leg. It's like they both tore up one of their legs and they both noticeably limp when they run or walk. Matt Hardy's is worse, but Jeff Hardy does still limp like constantly.
Matt Hardy is bow-legged to begin with.
Yeah.
So he's bow-legged to begin with. So he already had issues. And then Jeff Hardy, I know, had that motocross accident like years and years ago.
Yeah. And he's been like limping. He noticeably limps. He hasn't been the same. Yeah, probably since then. And yeah, and Matt, his has also gotten worse because he did the leg drop for so many years from so high up, and it like destroyed his back and tailbone. So he like had to have his back fused, and he like constantly limps and stuff because he's had hip surgeries and all kinds of stuff. But all right, moving on.
So let's get into the actual topics for Raw and SmackDown. So, first off, I'm going to actually just cover for both, the King of the Ring and the Queen's Crown tournaments.
Yes.
So we were definitely wrong in our predictions of at least the finals. Yeah. So Finn Balor advances over Sammy, and you actually made a valid point that Sammy never goes overseas to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
So, that made more sense as to why Finn Balor.
Yeah.
We did say that Xavier Woods would go over Jinder Mahal. So your finals for King of the Ring are, it looks to be Xavier Woods versus Finn Balor.
Yep. Thank God.
And it really needs to be Xavier Woods to win.
It has to be.
Like, I mean, here's the thing. Balor doesn't need it.
Yeah.
He doesn't need it. And honestly, if they were going to go with anyone other than Woods to win it, I would have said to have Jinder Mahal win it.
Yeah.
Because he's someone who needs a gimmick right now.
Yeah.
Because his gimmicks have been horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty terrible. I agree. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to flip it to the women.
Oh, I was just going to say, I thought that the Woods Jinder Mahal match was okay for the crap Raw that we had, because there was no matches that were really that great on it.
The only one that was good was Charlotte and Bianca.
Yeah, yeah. That one was okay. Yeah, that one was pretty good.
That was the only one that was good.
Yeah.
But flipping over to the women's side of things, you had Zelina Vega randomly advancing over Carmella.
Thought it was going to be Zelina.
You
did, but
you had called it.
Yeah.
And then you changed it.
Yeah, I know. See, I thought it was going to be Zelina, and exactly for, like, I don't know. I just feel like she's a decent heel for the gimmick, and I just also thought it would be cool to watch Shayna Baszler beat her. But now I kind of feel like it's going to be Doudrop, and Yes, uh-uh. Only because they already had Zelina in the outfit on Raw out during the Shayna Baszler and Doudrop match. And normally when they do that, when they early... Notice how Xavier Woods hasn't put the crown on yet because he's not
the king. No, but he put the cape on.
No, but he's not the king, so he won't put on the crown yet. He's getting closer, so every week he does something more and more. Like the first week he sat in the chair after he won the match.
I mean, a lot now, of them do.
No. But now, but Jinder Mahal put the crown on and everything like that. No, he's slowly becoming his king character is sort of how he's playing it. But Zelina even was like dressed like in a nice like queen's type dress and stuff too. And that just makes me think that she's not going to win it now. And it's going to be Doudrop. They're going to have Queen Doudrop who's going to come around and make everything sparkle and glitter. Well,
here's the two reasons why I think...
Or Eve Marie is going to steal it from her.
Well, here is my two things. So first off, Doudrop did get the win over Shayna Baszler, and then Shayna Baszler takes her out with the Kafuta Clutch.
In a terrible match, though.
It was a horrible match.
Yeah, and the ending was so bad. Like Doudrop was in the Karafuda Clutch for ridiculously long.
Yeah.
Ridiculously long. So, and then got a crappy pin to win.
Here's
her shoulders weren't even on the mat, by the way, in real life. In kayfabe, they were, but no.
So here are my reasons for why I think Zelina Vega will end up beating Doudrop for the Queen's Crown. First off, you have now Shayna Baszler still pissed about losing. So you have a
stir of the match.
You're going to have a greater likelihood of Shayna Baszler costing Doudrop the win. Zelina Vega isn't feuding with anybody. So there's no one who would cost her the crown.
Yeah.
You could easily have Eva Marie come back, like you were actually kind of alluding to.
Yeah.
Cause Doudrop to lose.
Yeah.
It wouldn't make sense for Doudrop to have it either, because usually, I mean, Xavier Woods is a different type of person when it comes to having the crown, because everyone is behind him. Everyone is behind him having the crown because they know how much it means to him.
Yeah.
But this being the first women's King of the Ring tournament, essentially, a Queen of the Ring tournament, if you will, you're not going to go ahead and put this on a baby face that the fans are kind of behind.
Yeah.
If you're going to use this,
feel like Zelina,
it's
got to
be somebody who's like evil.
I just feel like they haven't done anything with her, and I feel like it's not going to be impactful.
That's why I feel like it needs to be her.
Yeah, I just feel like it's not. It's going to be a dead gimmick, like how it was with Baron Corbin. Like, I feel like they're going to put it on them to give them a gimmick, and it's going to do nothing for their character. I don't know. And also, I just feel like Zelina doesn't have, like, what you... Like, she doesn't have anything to back herself up when it comes to the gimmick. Like, she doesn't have, like, the skills in the ring to back up, like, how cocky and confident of a heel you kind of have to be as, like, the King of the Ring or Queen, the Queen's Crown, Queen of the Ring.
Yeah, no, definitely. But I just feel like, I don't know, I feel like Zelina is the only one that could... Well, obviously, out of the two that would be left to really utilize the gimmick.
Yeah, I guess. I'm gonna go with Zelina, but yeah, that's all I have to say about it. I'm not as interested as I am in the men's side of it.
No, not really. I'm actually gonna switch things up. I'm gonna actually finish going through Monday Night Raw because really there was nothing else other than the Queen's Crown tournament, and then Bianca Belair and Charlotte Flair.
Yeah.
So they opened the show. You had them sporadically through the show, and then you have them close the show, which is good. But I feel like Charlotte was trying to really draw the heat, and I feel like she was trying too hard in the opening segment. And
yeah,
I was kind of like, all right, this is kind of,
to be fair, the crowd was totally dead.
It was, like, they were dead. And you could even tell even more so when it came to Bianca.
Yeah.
Because like she came out to try to put Charlotte in her place. And I'm just like, there was no charisma.
Yeah, I felt like what she was saying was obviously memorized lines. Like, it didn't feel real coming from her.
Like, that would be like me.
Not something she would say.
Right. That would be like me going on to a movie set, or me going on to like going into a play and reading directly from the script and having like no emotion behind it.
Yeah,
that's what I felt like when it came to this. I feel like it fell so flat, and yeah. I was just like, I don't care.
I didn't care at all about the opening segment. And yeah, I mean, the match, like when they eventually have their match in the main event, it's great.
The match itself was great, and that's the thing. Bianca Belair can put on a great match against anybody. Charlotte can put a great match on against anybody.
Even though botchy, though, at times this match felt like, I felt like there was a time where she was going up to do a glam slam on Charlotte and she just dropped her on her face. That was definitely not on purpose. And then there was just like a couple of other, like what looked like miscues, where it looked like Charlotte got like beat up like incidentally by something that Bianca did, like by like slamming her the wrong way, or her like falling, or just getting hit with a strike even. There were just a couple of little things that I noticed where I was shocked that Charlotte didn't get into another shoot fight like she did with Nia Jax, because some of these moves look really brutal. Also, Charlotte had an accidental, like, I don't know, her chin got sliced, where she had like she was bleeding out her chin, which she probably has to get like a couple stitches for. You know, that wasn't on purpose either, because commentary made no mention of it whatsoever. So yeah, but it was a good match overall.
Yeah, I mean, that was the best match that they had on Raw. It really was. Yeah. There was nothing else.
Also, I thought about the RK-Bro Street Profits match before it was sort of interrupted. That one was actually
good.
Yeah, that one, I thought that, especially at the end, I thought like Orton really like psyched me up at the end of that one, because he hit all of his moves like a little faster than usual.
Yeah.
Like, and it was just like, it was good. I enjoyed that until... You know, like the beginning started off a little slow and whatever, but that match was also okay. I just happened to remember that while I was trying to think what else was even on Raw besides this, you know. But
yeah, that was the only other good one.
Yeah, literally, I mean, everything else was not even worth mentioning.
Yeah, pretty much. That's why I wanted to go through that first, because I'm like, well, that's really going to be quick and out of the way.
Yeah.
SmackDown, we can go into this next. Street Profits actually had another good, like, good showing on SmackDown. They were in the street fight against the Usos.
Yeah, which was arguably the best match as well.
That was definitely the best match on SmackDown. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, good, you know, congrats when it comes to the Street Profits, because they put on great shows, you know, great matches on both shows. But I don't know if you actually heard the rumor mill that's been going on about Montez Ford.
No, I have not.
So that they, when it came to the draft, there was heavy talk about breaking up the Street Profits in the draft. And they decided last minute to keep it. And they kind of went with the tester on Montez Ford versus Roman Reigns a couple weeks back.
Yeah.
Apparently they really do like what they saw with Montez Ford being a singles competitor. And rumor has it is that they are still going to look forward to splitting up the Street Profits and keeping them on the same brand, but keeping them as singles competitors.
Well, that's interesting, because literally since day one, since they've been called up to the main roster, everybody's saying Montez Ford is obviously the breakout star, the potential and everything like that. And they're like, yeah, WWE is going to look to split them up eventually. And I was just thinking about that when I watched them on SmackDown and Raw this week. And I was like, wow, you know, I can't believe like they're still doing the Street Profits. And then I'm like, but if you think about it, they're like, they're really good friends in real life. They, I'm sure, are fine with teaming together. You know, I'd feel bad for Angelo Dawkins because he's not terrible and he has a personality as well. Like, he could definitely do something. I feel like they could both maybe use a new gimmick change or some fresh coat of paint on it for sure. But I don't know if I necessarily want to see them broken up. But I kind of like the way they build off each other.
They need each other, in my opinion. I mean, Montez Ford.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Montez Ford is really good. I mean, he's great in the ring.
Yeah.
But I feel like he needs Dawkins
to play off of, like, on the microphone. And
I mean,
stuff.
You're not.
Like,
Here's the thing is, like, Rock, The Rock was great when it came to being on the microphone because he had other people that he was great against on the microphone. But I mean, like, if you put, like, the Brooklyn Brawler in a feud with The Rock.
Yeah.
Right. Or Barry Horowitz.
You can't.
Jobbers,
extend.
Right. You're not going to get the same kind of crowd reaction. You're not going to get this, you know, this whole thing. If you put Montez Ford against Ali or against Mace, or against T-Bar, right? Yeah. You're not going to have much substance. There's not going to be much there. You're not going to have anything to really play off. He needs somebody that is at least close to his level when it comes to being, like, to bouncing things off of. He needs somebody like a Chris Jericho. He needs someone like Triple H to go ahead and bounce things off of when it comes to being on the microphone. He could go and stand against Roman Reigns. Yeah. He could probably stand against Bobby Lashley, but not for nothing. Bobby Lashley would end up destroying him.
Yeah. Like, the thing is, he's like a little small too. Also,
that's the other problem.
Also Dawkins, if anything, on their backstage segments is like the funnier one. Like, he's the one that, like, if I enjoy the segment, he's probably the reason why I enjoyed it. Cause he's just funny. Like, he's got natural, like, charisma like that. Montez Ford does as well, but in a different kind of way. Which is why, I just think that they need each other. I think maybe they could use a different spin on their gimmick or just add a little extra, give them some substance that they kind of had a little more of back in NXT with the kind of vignettes and explaining who the Street Profits are. Like, I feel like they could, I don't know, just tweak the gimmick a little bit, do something.
It needs a lot of tweaking, but
yeah.
All right.
Maybe tell us what the smoke is and why you want it. Maybe
I don't know, but Kofi liked it when they wound up having the cup, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So next up we have I already went through all that. All right, so Edge and Seth Rollins promos. I'm gonna go there next.
I hated Edge's promo.
Really?
You want to know why? Because I want this feud to go the hell away. It makes me sad that I saw on the roster that they're both going to Raw. That makes me think that this feud is not even over.
This is the, like, feud that never ends.
Yeah, it goes on and on forever. So, that's why. Edge just looks visibly older every time I see him and looks like he's gained about 5 to 10 pounds every time I see him. His face now looks fatter and he looks to now have double the wrinkles. If you look at his even graphic picture that he probably took when he first came back to WWE that they use for all of his matches, he looks considerably skinnier and younger in those photos. I don't like his long Grizzly Adams beard that he has. No. I'm not a fan of
his
that.
Hair also, even looks like horrible too.
Yeah I'm
like,
also,
you can tell
it's like
plugs.
Man.
Yeah, it looks like plugs and it looks like he has plugs and a weave in there, man.
Yeah, like it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He just looks like disheveled. I don't know if that's the point or if he just really hasn't been paying attention to the way that he looks now. But
I think WWE is just trying to capture like what he was looking like and trying to recreate it. And it's like, stop trying to recreate it. Just let him be him. Like, honestly, yeah. When he came back a couple times, not like when he was competing, but he came back a couple times and he just had like the shorter hair.
Yeah,
he looked good. He looked healthy. He looked clean. You know, I'm like, that would have been fine. Like, especially after he first came back when at the Rumble, and he looked so old.
Yeah,
and he still looks that way. I mean, he could still go in the ring, but he just looks old, man.
No, he looked okay at the Rumble, but he looks really old considerably over this last year. And I don't know. I'm just not, I'm done with this feud. Like, it should be over. He said he's not Edge Light. Where's Rollins' motivation now? It should be all gone. It should be fine. Everything should be good. You know, like, it's all over. It's fine. We don't need to see another one, guys. It's okay. We get it. You guys each beat each other once, but that's okay. That's enough for me. I don't need to know who wins the third one because I don't care. It doesn't change anything. They were originally fighting over who's going to get the next shot at the Universal title, and now there's been 8 other challengers in between them that have gotten to go for the title. They could have both challenged for the title at this point.
At this point, yeah.
Yeah, like, it doesn't even make any sense. And now it's not even about that anymore. Now then it was being about Rollins being obsessed and being called Edge Light. And then he admitted that he was an Edge Light. So what is this feud?
There is no point. That's the problem when it comes to WWE. There is no point.
Yeah, so the Edge promo itself, or like the Rollins promo even, wasn't like the worst thing in the world, but based on the fact of everything around this, the fact that I hate this feud, it's going nowhere, we don't even know what it's about anymore, and we're just all tired of it, because how long has this thing even been going on since like WrestleMania ish
for them it really started like SummerSlam.
Nah, they've been going since before that.
No,
because Edge wasn't around. No, because they had 2 matches already at this point. Edge only has a match once every like 3 months. So this has to be at least a 3-month-long feud. So it couldn't have been SummerSlam.
It was, because they didn't do the second match at a pay-per-view. They did the second match at SmackDown on Madison Square Garden. Yeah.
Yeah, but
it wasn't that long after they had their initial match. It started when Seth Rollins cost Edge the title.
This thing started all the way back when Edge and Daniel Bryan were feuding for the title with Roman Reigns, and he cost him his one-on-one match, and then Daniel Bryan got to have his last match on SmackDown against Roman Reigns. So that was way before SummerSlam. That's when this started.
Right after WrestleMania, you didn't see Edge until he came back to face Roman Reigns one-on-one.
Yes, which was still when Daniel Bryan was on.
No, television. It wasn't.
Yes, it was.
Go back and look.
They had a triple threat match.
At WrestleMania.
No, after WrestleMania.
They did not. Edge was gone from WrestleMania until right before he faced
After SmackDown, also after WrestleMania, Daniel Bryan had a singles match on SmackDown. And the reason why he had a singles match with him is because Edge was taken out by Seth Rollins.
I don't recall that.
Ah, well, look it up. It's there.
Go ahead, look it up, because I'll tell you right now, that's not what happened.
I don't know if you can look up on Google, like, how long has this feud been going for, but I'll try. But continue on.
But, yeah, no, their feud really ignited from SummerSlam when Seth Rollins actively cost him the title. Right before all of that, when Seth Rollins wanted to be named the new number one contender, he went to Adam Pearce and said, I want to be the number one contender. Adam Pearce said, I will take it under advisement.
You know what?
Do
you know what the top searches are for how long have Seth Rollins and Edge been?
No.
The top results are dating, together, married. That's hilarious.
Oh man.
Yeah, but continue with the show.
So yeah, any which way, I actually enjoyed Edge's promo a little bit because the way he was.
Oh, technically, according to Edge tonight, 2014. It's been going on since 2014.
I just saw that. Yeah. but yeah, that's not going to be really under a consideration at that point because that's really, that's ridiculous to go ahead and say that. But
yeah, long-term booking, and they say WWE can't do long-term booking. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, they can. It's true.
But yeah, no, basically I like the Edge promo because I feel like for Edge's promo, it was back to like that dark, sadistic way that he was when it became like the Edge and Orton promos, not the matches themselves, but like the way that their promos were. And that's what I saw with Edge. And I was like, that was a great promo.
Yeah.
Rollins promo, not so much, but Edge's promo, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Rollins promos consist more of him just laughing now at the crowd or himself or something. It's kind of weird. Takes you out of it a little bit. Just seems forced a little. Also, they kind of don't even really make much sense.
No. Lost my train of thought. We get into the final half hour of SmackDown. June
3rd, 2020, Seth Rollins says he has unfinished business with the Hall of Famer Edge. So that's all the way back in 2020 that he's been talking about Edge since.
That's really been nothing.
Also, I did look up August 7th is when their match was announced for SummerSlam. So their feud was going on at least a week prior to that. So it's been since July. So it was before SummerSlam.
Whatever.
There we go. It's
right around.
Like it matters.
Well, that's why I said
it doesn't matter. It's been going on for too long. It's October. It's about to be Halloween. It's been going on for way too long.
Yeah. just remember, you got your own roasting coming up soon. So, going into the final half hour of SmackDown, the extended half hour where there was no commercials, you had Sasha Banks getting the win over Big Time Bex, as they're calling her now, in a non-title match, thanks to Bianca Belair. And obviously this was the best match that was on SmackDown. This was actually the best match that I saw between both shows.
This was, I don't know. I'm not a terribly big fan of Becky Lynch. I like Sasha Banks, but if I'm going to be honest with myself, I'm going to say 90% of her moves all consist of her doing some form of a meteora, and that's it. She just does a bunch of those during the match and then does a backstabber, which is technically a meteora to the back.
Yeah.
So that's all she does. What I found funny actually about the match was like after the match that they basically just got kicked out. And they didn't even get to like finish their segment because you had to have Roman Reigns come out for the last part and do his 10-minute entrance that they could have just shortened. He could have just walked slightly faster and they wouldn't have had to kick the women out to set set up the table and chairs. Cause they were literally, he was literally like, come on, let's go get out. Like we're on with the next segment. They didn't make this segment feel important. Because they were like, yeah, no commercials, even though we could have used one right now. So
yeah, seriously.
Yeah, like it just made it look like very unprofessional. We didn't know what was going on. Commentary, like Pat McAfee was flabbergasted by what was happening. And then Michael Cole was like, yeah, they're setting up the tables and stuff for the next thing. And he's like, oh, yeah, there's no commercials. He's like, I was like, where's Adam? He's like, where's Adam Pierce's voice coming from? He's like, what is going on right now? Oh, they're in front of us. Oh, okay. very, very hilarious. But the match was fine. I don't know. What do you think for that? Do you think that Becky's going to retain?
Or... I still think that Becky and Charlotte obviously retained her title. She's not even defending at the pay-per-view. So if Charlotte's keeping her title, that means Becky's going to keep her title. It's possible that you could have Bianca end up with the title because Bianca's actually going to Raw too. I forgot about that. So it is possible for Bianca to get the title from her, but I don't think so. I think it's going to just go with Becky.
But what's odd is I'm feeling like we're just going to get the title switch. Like
that's what we're just going to have
the titles over. And that sucks.
I said it last week.
You could have just had Bianca like win and then defend it on like, I don't know. They could have had something. They could have had her win and then put it on the line in the triple threat match and then had winner take all in that. And then like Becky win. And then they would have to have like matches where every week somebody from Raw would have to come to SmackDown and try to face Becky Lynch, or Becky Lynch would have to go to Raw and defend the title like once a month or something like that until somebody beat her. But I don't know. I'd rather have that than them just swap the titles back and forth, because it makes them feel unimportant. And it's like, why don't you just do what they have for the male titles? And why can't you just make it the WWE women's title and the women's universal title? Like, why can't you just or change the names? Why do they have to be the SmackDown women's champion and the Raw women's champion? Because that solves the problem if you just change the name of the titles. Because the male titles aren't called the Raw WWE champion and the SmackDown WWE champion.
No.
That's not how it works.
But essentially that's what it is, because
it is, but you could change the names and it solves the problem, because nobody else is complaining if Roman Reigns were to go to Raw, like
they would change the belt strap to be red instead of blue.
Yeah, but the WWE title never
changes. Same shit.
It just stays black.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it is the same thing. All the titles are the same. The women's and men's titles are exactly the same. The women's just have a white strap. Same title. So yeah, I don't know.
All right.
It just makes it feel unimportant. That's it. And then there's just the Brock Lesnar and the,
which I liked what the comment in it, but I didn't. I feel like it was just so, I don't know, anticlimactic.
Yeah,
it was just kind of like, literally, it wasn't much of the promo. Roman Reigns has Paul Heyman look it over. The contract, and Paul Heyman, my tribal chief, and everything that you wanted is.
I hate that he says that. That makes me like cringe.
Yeah, I know. But that's what he ends up saying, and Roman signs it, and then you have Roman who just signs it. He doesn't even look at it.
Lesnar signs it, and he just signs it. And then, he just signs across. Yeah.
Right, and Roman just turns around. And he goes, you must be like a dumbass. He's like, you're a big dumb farm boy. He goes, you didn't even read it. And Lesnar just drops like the pipe bomb. And he goes, I read it this morning with my advocate, Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
And Brock just gets up and leaves. And you just see like Roman, like, is he telling me the truth? Is he not telling? Is he lying? Is he telling me the truth? Like, what happened? And it's just like, that's how you go off the air. And I'm like, no wonder lost to AEW.
This is the most horrible thing, is they didn't even go off the air then. They had a whole 3 extra minutes of them going over the Crown Jewel card.
Yeah.
And then they went back to Lesnar still walking away in the same spot he was 3 minutes ago. And that was ridiculous. Also, you could have not had that and maybe not had to shoo the women out of the ring for the match, or you could have had that during when you were setting the chairs and table or up in the ring.
Or you could have wound up doing like a random backstage promo while
Roman Reigns could have just walked his ass slightly faster. Because we've seen the entrance already. It's just a contract signing. It's not even a match or a pay-per-view. You can walk a little faster. You don't have to do the same entrance every time. It doesn't have to be Undertaker lengths of long. All right. Because I swear to God, Undertaker gets to the ring quicker than he does. Like, and that's saying something. Like, so come on.
So I want to just go ahead and touch on the one item that we've been actually looking for so much right now, which was the actual ratings between SmackDown's Extra Half Hour and Rampage. Yep. And I sent it over to you as the screenshot I sent last night.
I've seen it.
And it says we are attained a new key rating detail. AEW Rampage beat Friday Night SmackDown head to head in the 30 minutes in the most coveted 18 to 49 demo. 328,000 to 285,000.
Yeah.
And I mean, literally, you had CM Punk versus Matt Sydal as your opener for AEW for that half hour. And you had, on SmackDown side, you had Becky versus Sasha, and you had Brock Lesnar and Roman, all with segments in that last half hour, and they could not beat AEW Rampage in that time frame.
Yep.
That's bad. That is really bad.
They beat them in the overall ratings, but I mean, it was obvious that they should have. I know this is a huge thing that when it comes to the key demographic, which by the key demographic, they're the people that usually buy most of the merchandise, order most of the pay-per-views, is the 18 to 49 demographic.
Yep.
So those are the people that that are buying all of your stuff. So those are the people that you want to watch your show. So that's why this is really bad that by like 100,000 or whatever.
No, it wasn't by 100,000. It was
close.
It was like
328 to like
65,000. It was like 63,000. Sorry.
Still, they still won when SmackDown's normal show, even though it was on a different night, like they still had over 200,000 more viewers, like overall for the show, or whatever it was, 300,000 almost. But they still beat them where it counts, basically. So that's very impressive. We had said that they were probably going to beat them, at least in the demo. So yeah, I'm happy because other people were like, oh, there's no way they're going to get creamed by WWE. And I was like, no, they're not. And they didn't even lose by like that much. And this is their secondary show. SmackDown is their, WWE, SmackDown is the one that gets the higher viewership numbers. Like if this was Dynamite and SmackDown, this would have been a whole different ball game. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you could like link somehow the Wednesday night Dynamite numbers, if you could manage those kind of numbers on Fridays, this would be a whole different story. We'd be talking about that Dynamite just beat SmackDown and like just flat out beat them, you know? So Rampage has half the following that Dynamite has in the first place. So it's not a shocker that they lost overall, but it is kind of a shocker that they beat them in the demo. So that's very impressive.
Yeah, I was all for it, man. I loved it.
I'm happy. That makes me feel good. I didn't want AEW's hopes and dreams to just get crushed.
Yeah.
Because it's so good.
I didn't think that was going to happen. Tony Khan was a smart businessman, man. I trust in him.
Oh, and he's talking all kinds of crap on Twitter. The floodgates have been open now. He's like, oh, they want to go head to head with me now. He's like, now I don't care anymore. Now I'm just going to say whatever I feel like saying.
Yep.
Which is great. I like that. He deserves to be confident right now, you know, and maybe even a little cocky. Don't get too cocky, but you know, he deserves to like revel in it a little bit. He's doing a good job, you know, like he's certainly doing better than a guy that's been doing this for over 50 years or whatever. So, you know, good on him. I'm happy for AEW. And yeah, it's an exciting time to be in wrestling, just to watch WWE get beat in anything. They were like in anything for a main roster show. This is the first time they've gotten beat in any sort of rating since 1998.
First time.
That's what I had heard. That is what I had heard, that even the demographics, they haven't officially been beaten on like SmackDown or Raw on the same night head to head since 1998. No. So that's wild. So yeah, it's great. Awesome.
All right. Now, from a high note to a low note, we're just going to go really quick through our predictions for Crown Jewel, since that one is going to be coming up on Thursday.
I actually forgot.
Yeah, that. I know. Ooh. I wish we could forget. I'm going to go through them really quick. We're just going to say who we think is going to win. Ali versus Mansoor.
Mansoor,
yeah. Edge versus Rollins.
Rollins.
I'm going to go with Edge.
I want Rollins to win.
RK-Bro defending the titles against AJ and Omos.
I think RK-Bro are actually going to win, because I think AJ and Omos, they're like sort of teasing that they might break up or something.
No, they were thinking about breaking them up during the draft as well, but they a lot of people lobbied to keep them together just because they feel like he's not ready yet to be on his own. But I am going with RK-Bro.
Yeah, also AJ's really good with him. I feel like AJ as his mouthpiece is much better.
Becky versus Sasha versus Bianca for the SmackDown women's title.
Wait, is Becky going to Raw?
Becky's going to Raw.
Becky's going to
Becky
Raw.
And Bianca are both going to Raw. Sasha stays on SmackDown.
I might go Sasha. This one I'm not sure on. This one, I think, feel like any of them could win.
No, because Charlotte still hasn't given up the title for Raw, so it's got to be an equal swap.
All right. That sucks.
So it's either going to be Bianca or Becky, but I'm going to go Becky. With Becky.
Fine.
Goldberg versus Lashley.
Who cares? No one. That's my answer.
No one, but I think it's going to be Goldberg who wins.
Crap. I really don't. I refuse to pick Goldberg, so I'm picking Bobby Lashley. I refuse. Okay.
I will unfortunately have to say Goldberg because I know he's going to win it. Big E versus Drew McIntyre for the WWE title.
Oh, I don't know. I think
it's an easy one. It's got to go to Big E.
I don't know about that though. Like, McIntyre's, I feel like he's going to SmackDown. Flat. Yeah, but so
McIntyre's going to SmackDown.
So what?
So who are they gonna swap the title with?
Fine, they could just
come on.
Somebody could the superstar shakeup.
Yeah, okay.
Something international draft of some kind. They do stuff all the time. What the hell is it called? The wild card rule. There you go. Yeah, okay. That's how.
Finally,
gotta make something kind of.
Finally, like Roman versus Lesnar for the Universal title.
It's gonna be Roman.
Roman, yeah. All right. And we already covered the King of the Ring and Queen's Crown tournament, so we don't.
Yeah, obviously Xavier Woods.
I'm going Xavier Woods and Zelina.
Zelina Vega, yeah.
All right, that is going to end our show, at least for the moment, because. I'll be coming back on Thursday, maybe even Friday. I don't know which day yet, to cover NXT 2.0 and Crown Jewel pay-per-view. I will be doing this alone because my partner here, Justin, is going to be going to Disney for the first time.
And not and Land, ex- World. And
Disney World, yes. And he actually was considering to do the podcast while he was on vacation at Disney World.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, what is the matter with you? Especially the very first time you go to Disney World, why in the hell would you even think to consider doing the podcast?
Hey, I was trying to be nice. I was trying to not leave you to watch Crown Jewel by yourself. Because that's pretty terrible. I don't know, man. But hey, I wasn't trying to leave the people of the podcast either. I don't know how many. I know it's not very many, but that listen to our podcast. I didn't want to leave them hanging.
Yeah. Okay. Amanda, I'm on your side because I already know. And when you hear this podcast, you're gonna be like, Justin, what the hell were you thinking?
Oh, she already told me, like, tell Andrew that you're not gonna be able to do the podcast.
Her and I are in agreement.
So yeah, she already yelled at me and was like, "Yeah, you better tell Andrew now that you're not gonna be able to do the podcast."
I give you permission to go ahead and smack him upside the head when you hear this.
She will. Yeah, she's gonna listen to this.
Good. Probably. I hope that she does, and I hope that she follows my advice and smacks you upside the head.
Yeah, when I get a random smack, I know what it's from.
Exactly. But yeah, so I will be holding the fort down over here. I will help go ahead and cover this, so this way you can actually enjoy Disney.
Thank you, and I'll do it. I'll do it when you go next year. I'll do it.
Yeah, well, definitely, because there's no way in hell I'm going to be doing the podcast when I have to go to Disney next year.
Yep.
So with that being said, I'm author Andrew Hess.
And I'm Justin DeFrancisco. And join Andrew later this week and find out what's on tap.